Chapter 3. Plans for Escape. I knew approximately where I was, and that to escape from the area, I should follow the river. I walked along the river for about 6 kilometres, crawling when the pain was too strong. When morning came, I hid until I was sure that there was nobody in the area. I heard and saw no one. At last, I stood up and looked around me. About 2 kilometres up the river, I saw a town. I had to go there, although it would be dangerous, and from there find transport to continue my journey. Suddenly, I heard the sound of voices in the distance coming from the river. I crawled to the edge of the water and hid behind some bushes. There were 5 young men swimming in the river, and I decided to borrow a pair of trousers from them. I had a quick look at the trousers that they had left on the grass. They were all too wide at the waist and too short in the legs, and I couldn't guess which pair would be my size. Suddenly, I had an idea. I would take all the trousers. That way, the young men would think that one of their friends had played a practical joke on them, and people wouldn't start looking for a thief. "Where can I hide where I'll be safe?" I thought. "The young men will certainly look for their trousers in the bushes." I decided that the best place would be in the water. I took the trousers and went into a small pool of water a few metres away, hidden by the branches of some trees. The young men would certainly not look for me there. After some time, I heard them shouting, "Willie! Willie!" Obviously, they thought that someone named Willie had taken their trousers. They looked for him for some time and then left, no doubt to find Willie and punish him. I had no sympathy for Willie. If he was the type of young man who played stupid practical jokes on his friends, he deserved to be punished. I swam as well as I could with the trousers to a small island in the river and lay down to rest in the afternoon sun. I stayed there, sleeping and resting, and allowing the sun to start the work of healing my injured body. 2 days passed in this way. On the 3rd day, I woke up feeling much better and very hungry. I realized that I had to continue on my way, but first I would have to take care of my appearance. I needed to shave, I needed a pair of gloves that would cover my injured fingers, and I had to get an eye patch to protect and hide my damaged eye. I also needed a clothes brush to brush the mud from my jacket. I couldn't possibly appear in public in the condition I was in. Anyone who saw me would call the police or the nearest hospital immediately. I made a primitive raft from some pieces of wood in the river, got dressed, and floated on the raft to the other side of the river. From there, I managed to walk to the road a few metres away and hid behind a farm cart at the edge of a field of wheat near the road. I watched the people passing by to see whom I could ask for help, and finally, I decided to approach an intelligent-looking man who was standing alone and fishing in the river not far from me. I went up to him and showed him my injured fingers. "Do you know how this happened?" I asked him in his language, which I had learnt from the woman I loved. He didn't answer, but waited for more information. "You're the only person in this country who knows that I'm alive," I said to him. "Can you get me some shaving equipment, a pair of gloves, an eye patch, and a clothes brush? I've got the money to pay you." "I don't want money," the fisherman said. His face was absolutely expressionless. I would have to make the next move. "Do you speak English?" I asked. I saw interest in his eyes, but he made no sign that he had understood me. I continued in English, hoping that the foreign language might persuade him to help me. "I won't tell you who I am or what I've done," I said, "because it's better that you don't know. But if no one sees us talking together, I don't think that you'll be in danger." "I'll help you," he answered in English. "What was it you wanted?" I repeated my request. I also told him that I was a rich man, and that he shouldn't hesitate to take any money that he might need. He refused with a smile. "Where should I put the things?" he asked. "Under the farm cart over there," I told him. I'll be hiding in the field waiting for you. The fisherman left without another word, and I found a hiding place in the wheat. An hour later, he returned with a package and hid it under the cart. When I was sure there was no one on the road, I went to the cart and took the package. The fisherman had brought me everything I had asked for, and also a cold chicken, some bread, and a bottle of milk mixed with brandy. He had thought of everything, even a thermos flask with hot water for shaving. I ate, shaved, cleaned my clothes as well as I could, and put on the gloves. By the time I had finished, I looked like a poor but educated man, a schoolteacher perhaps, who was recovering from a bad accident. Now it was time to continue on my way. I had to get to the town, then to a port, and find a boat going to England.